The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I am here with my co-host and husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Wonderful. How are you?
Very good.
I'd like to take this moment and wish Nick Lawler of our office, and Mary, his bride, a wonderful wedding day. They're getting married today. Congratulations, best wishes for a lifetime of love, happiness, and
joy. Feel the joy.
Okay, I don't like the way you said that. Joy.
Joy.
We're here with Greg Wolf. I'm changing topics really quickly.
Good.
We're here with Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. How are you?
Doing great, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Are you feeling the joy?
I'm feeling the joy.
Right.
I felt it in his response. Yes.
All right, okay.
You felt it a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners Live Webcam tab. We have a webcam on top of the building of the corners. So you can look at the construction for the next 3 years.
At least.
So, yeah. Actually, we get thousands of hits a month on that camera. We really do.
Greg, I'd like to ask you when that construction's going to... Do you have any say over this as captain of the Dunmore Fire Department? Because every month they say, next month it's going to be finished. It's going to be completed.
That since April.
If I did, it would have been done 2 years ago.
Oh, it's been awful. Brilliant. View our listings, search the MLS listings, and listen to archive radio shows by going to jruddy.com. J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile-friendly. Getting back to that construction that's never-ending. Like, that is such a main thoroughfare. You think there would be a better way to do that, right? Maybe in the middle of the night when no cars are out or very few are out?
Yeah, that would seem to make sense, but I would guess it comes down to money.
Mm-hmm.
Always does.
Always does.
Does that interfere with your response time, the construction?
The crews there have done a great job, actually, clearing it out for us. So we were concerned when it first started happening that it would be, but they've actually done a pretty good job. It's been tight a few times, but they've done a really good job of clearing it out. So there hasn't been any issues.
And getting you guys through.
Okay. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I sit there for 10 minutes. I need some lights and sirens.
You need the lights and sirens.
That's what
get a horn.
Oh, I would like that, too.
Yeah, I know you would.
Okay, you're here, Greg, to talk about fire safety. And what better time to talk about it than in the fall? And, you know, there's certain times that we should be looking at. Let's start with our smoke alarms, our smoke detectors in the home. And fall is a good time to make sure that everything operates the way it's supposed to. And maybe we should be changing our batteries.
Absolutely. October is fire prevention month, so fall is, you know, a time that we speak about this a little bit more. But smoke detectors are, by and large, the best thing, the most important thing that we need for fire safety in our homes, because they will save our lives. There's many things going on with the way things are built in our homes now. It's not the natural man-made products now. It's basically oil products. So fire is actually moving a little bit faster on us than it used to, say, 20, 30 years ago. So our best chance of survival is the smoke detector. That's going to just straight up save our lives. So we want to check the monthly fire prevention month, obviously October. We spend a little more time thinking about it. But we test them monthly. We just press the button, make sure that it works, and we're good to go. Many alarms now have 10-year batteries, so if you don't have a 10-year battery, we still want to do that spring forward, fall back, and changing the batteries. But if you have a newer one with a 10-year battery, then we just leave it alone. Everything's good, and you're okay there.
So even with a 10-year battery, are there things you can do to make sure that it's operating correctly?
Yeah, we just, like I said, we just hit that test button, and that's our best thing. We could keep them clean. We don't paint over them or anything like that. And that's our best thing. Don't, you know, make sure they're not damaged. Just a quick once over, make sure they're in good shape.
Where should we be installing these smoke detectors?
We want them on every floor, and then we want them in every bedroom. At a minimum, and then outside the sleeping areas as well. And the floor where the kitchen is, we don't want them too close to the kitchen, because then we end up getting a lot of false alarms, and then people get used to the alarm going off, and then they just think, oh, someone's burning food again, and there's no fire. So, you know, we get comfortable with that, and that's not what we want. So we keep that smoke detector pretty good distance away from the kitchen area, just to make sure that we're not getting a lot of false alarms. But one in every bedroom is the most important thing, where people are sleeping. Obviously, that's when the most danger is, when people are sleeping.
By far, the biggest lifesaver that there is a smoke detector.
There's no question about it. They just flat out save lives. And like I said, things, if you pay attention to the news, and when you hear about a fire and you hear them, the victims being interviewed, you hear them, you know, the smoke detector woke us up and there was fire everywhere. And that didn't necessarily happen so much years ago, but it is now, again, because of the way everything in our homes is plastic, which is, like I said, basically oil. So things are going a lot quicker. It's a lot nastier. The smoke is worse. So those smoke detectors are it.
Okay, so in the lower level, where should the basement.
The basement, we want one in the basement as well. We don't, kind of like the kitchen, we don't want it too close to your furnace.
Right.
Or any of that operating equipment, because it can set off some different false alarms. But we want them, I like them near the stairwell. So if there's a fire, it's going to go up, the smoke's going to go up the stairwell, act as a chimney. So near that stairwell is a nice place for one in the basement. So it'll catch that as it comes up, because the smoke is obviously going to rise, and then it's going to find its way to the stairwell. So that's where I prefer them, in the basement.
Could you have too many smoke detectors in a home?
No, other than, like I said, the area, the kitchen areas, and someplace by the action areas like that may set them off. No, not really. You know, like I said, every bedroom, because we want you to keep the doors closed as well. There's a whole movement going on about closing your doors, things that we've been taught as children, to close those doors to contain the fire. And there's videos of fire fully involved in the room outside of it with the door closed. It's completely livable. So it's saved many lives. But we need to have that smoke detector in there as well. So there's websites out there for close your door. I think it's closeyourdoor.org. You can look up some information on that, and that will help save your life as well.
And in the laundry room.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Laundry room, yes. Clothes dryers, they're a big problem. The lint there, we want to make sure that they're properly cleaned, preferably by a professional. But if you can't do that, they do have kits that you can buy at your local hardware store, where you can clean out the vent. You know, keep those lint traps clear. Every time you put the stuff in, you should clean that, a new load in, you should put clean out the lint trap.
Every single time.
Every single time, yep.
No matter what. So how often should we be cleaning the vents? Once a year, twice a year, every quarter?
At least twice a year you should have those cleaned, to make sure that they're in good working order. You want metal ones as well too, not the cheap paper ones. The flexible metal, they're the best option for that. So at least twice a year you want a good cleaning of them. Of the vent itself, and then, like I said, the lint traps every time.
We had a significant fire in Dunmore about 10 years ago because of a dryer. A house was engulfed in flames, and we stood outside and just watched it. It had to be torn down. What was remaining had to be taken away. And a new house was constructed on the lot. You were there.
Yes. I used to be a fireman in New York City. And I would think that was, in the neighborhood I worked in for the last 10 years, the biggest cause of fires in my response area was dryers, a dryer fire. That's where we could always trace it back to, that because people would turn a dryer on and go to the store.
Yeah, well, you remember, lint is actually used as a survival skill to light to start fires. They say, you know, if you're stuck in the woods or anything like that, take the lint out of your pocket and it'll help light a fire because it goes up instantly. So, yeah, that's a huge problem.
Yeah, so absolutely. Don't turn the dryer on and go to the store.
No, try to stay away from that.
We try and stay in our house. We try not to turn the dryer on and leave. If the dryer is going to be on, we want somebody there in the house. Just God forbid there's a problem. And ours is hard piped out. I have the solid metal 4-inch pipe going out.
Yep.
And I went to the local hardware store because I'm into this stuff. And I got the brush and it's on a 12-foot.
Yep.
It's a flexible. It goes 12 feet. It goes all the way in. And I was amazed. There was a pile. And I do it every year. There was a big pile about the size of a softball that came out of the vents. It was amazing.
Yeah. And if you're not there, unless you have an alarm system that'll go to a call center and notify 911 in your local area, you know, nobody's going to know about it. You know, so the smoke detectors can go off. Even if they are the interconnected, which we also recommend, you could get the wireless ones where one goes off, they all go off in the house. If you haven't recently had your house rewired or anything like that, they do have wireless smoke alarms to assist with that. So, try to stay. I know we're all busy, but if we can't stay home when that dryer is on, it's definitely a good idea.
Well, thank God you have a nagging wife that likes to write you notes.
My wife does not nag. She reminds me. No need to remind me every 6 months. I will get to it.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, I don't know. Something about that. We do it in the springtime just because it just seems like that's the time to get it done, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So regarding smoke detectors, I can't tell you how many homes I go into year after year, whether we're looking at it from a buyer's perspective or we're going and listing it to sell, and there are no smoke detectors. It's amazing. And when Patrick was a little boy and we were starting our sleepovers, you know, those days, mm-hmm. you know, where they're all getting together and they like to sleep over, we would actually go into people's homes and we wouldn't tell them, but we were looking for smoke detectors because I was very, very much afraid of things that could happen in the middle of the night.
No, it's not a bad thing. And I'm always looking for them as well. And you would be amazed. Like you said, we go into many homes as well. And you would be amazed on how many people do not have functioning smoke detectors. And there's really no reason for it. They're fairly inexpensive. You could get the battery, the regular batteries where you have to swap out. I think they're around $5 a piece at your local hardware store. But also the Red Cross has a fantastic program. So you just look up your local Red Cross chapter. We've walked the streets, literally knocked on doors at people's houses and asked them if they needed smoke detectors along with the Red Cross. And they have the 10-year batteries in them, and they will come in and they will put smoke detectors in every room of your house if you want to. And they need to use the program. They have corporate sponsors and that type of a thing going on, so they need to use it up. So they want to use it as much as possible. It's a great program. And like I said, there's the 10-year battery, so you don't have to worry about changing the batteries, you know, twice a year. And they'll come, they'll install them. So if you know someone that's elderly or that's, you know, they can't install them themselves, they'll install them and everything. They put them in. So it's a really great program to help assist that.
Red Cross,
yep.
Just, and how about local fire departments? Do they do that as well?
Most local fire departments do, but they have a limited supply of smoke detectors. But if you do end up buying them on your own, you don't use the Red Cross, and you have some questions about where to install them or anything like that, or you need assistance, most of your local fire departments will come and install them for you.
So when my smoke detector starts chirping in the middle of the night, I shouldn't just go and take the battery out and forget about it and quiet it down? How many houses do you go into where there's no batteries in the smoke detectors?
It happens often, especially with people or with renters. It seems like that seems to be
right. They don't want to pay for anything. They don't want to put a battery in it. They don't want to tell the landlord.
That is a big problem we have, as I'm sure you had, you know, in New York as well. That is a big problem. People covering them. So if there's no smoking allowed in the building, they'll cover them, which is just, that is the absolute worst, because then you think people think they have the protection, but they don't. So that's even worse than not having them. So we've run across that quite a few times, which is, like I said, a big problem.
I, a lot of times I'll go to houses and they're not occupied and they're vacant. So we're showing them, and a lot of times that chirping is occurring. And I carry batteries in my car mm-hmm. for that reason, because nothing, it was designed to be annoying. Mm-hmm. And nothing annoys me more than that chirp. And I have to silence it. I really do.
Yeah.
But I'm amazed, though, I've gone into properties that are occupied. And the chirp. And it's a family.
And they ignore it.
But they sleep through it.
Yeah.
And they live through it. And I can't believe it.
I don't know how they do it. Like you said, they're designed to be annoying. How they deal with it, I have no idea.
I don't either. All right. Well, we're headed towards a break. We have with us today Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. We're talking about fire safety. Pat, would you like to review listing, please?
Yes. We have a beautiful brick raised ranch home at 131 Park Drive in Scranton for $109,000. This two-bedroom home is in move-in condition with a large fenced-in yard and a one-car garage. It's located on a dead-end street, and it's just awaiting a new owner. That's a move-in condition two-bedroom home with a built-in garage at 131 Park Drive in Scranton for $109,000, and that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
Okay, I have an announcement. You ready?
Yes. Did we win the lottery?
Yeah, that would be great, but no. But it's good. This is a great announcement. We welcome the latest addition to our dedicated team of realtors, Dan Callahan. He was born and raised in Dunmore. He's been assisting home buyers and sellers throughout our region for the last decade, more than a decade, since 2006. He specializes in residential real estate with an ePro certification, and that helps him effectively use technology to aid his clients in the home buying and selling process. Dan is passionate about meeting the specific needs of his clients by being thorough and reliable, but above all, he prides himself on being honest and trustworthy. This area's beautiful natural setting and the sense of community pride that only comes from being a resident of Northeast PA are Dan's most favorite things about our area, and that's why he decided to work, live, and raise a family here after he finished college. He and his wife and 2-year-old son reside in Dunmore. With his extensive knowledge of our amazing community, techno-savvy skills, and sincere dedication to the real estate field, he knows he can help meet any client's real estate needs.
Yes, I got a mailer from him about 2 or 3 years ago, and I said, wow, this guy is really good. He's sending me a mailer. But he was hitting all of Dunmore. I mean, so the guy, he's very good.
He always
impressed me. I'm very glad we have him.
Yes, he's a great guy and a great realtor. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be right back. The real estate market is extremely active, and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jready.com. That's JRUDDY.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. You're rejoining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning again.
We're with Greg Wolf, captain of the Fire Department in Dunmore, Pennsylvania.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cap.
Yes. That's how I should be addressing you.
No.
Yes, I should.
Captain Greg.
All right. So we've been talking about smoke detectors, and they are the most important item to have in a home. Saves lives.
Absolutely.
And they should be operating in operational or in order and have batteries.
Right. Check twice a year.
But a lot of them that are made these days are, the batteries are 10-year batteries,
correct,
which is great because then you don't have to remember to replace them. But if you have a regular smoke detector with the usual batteries, they should be changed twice a year.
Twice a year, yeah.
Fall and spring.
Mm-hmm. Check twice a year.
Well, we want them checked monthly.
Monthly.
But the batteries change twice a year.
Really?
Yes. The spring forward, fall back.
You're supposed to change your batteries.
Yes.
Whether you need to or not, just so that it operate correctly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they recommend.
Okay. So, now, did we talk about everything we needed to regarding smoke detectors? Because
yeah,
I thought
we
can move on to...
Well, the smoke detectors in our house, they're about 8 years old. And I change the batteries all the time, but they're starting to chirp anyway, even when I change the batteries.
They do have a lifespan. You want to change your smoke detectors every 10 years.
Change
after about
the
10
whole
years,
smoke. Okay.
Just, yeah, swap them out. They do have, like I said, they do have a lifespan.
Right. They're all stamped inside with the date of manufacture.
Correct.
So if you see it 7 or 8 years and it's chirping, toss it.
Yeah. You've been at your house for 20 years and you never looked at them.
It's time to change them.
Time to change them. Yep.
Okay.
I found more, by the way. I have to show you them. But anyway, yeah, but when one chirps in our house, then they all seem to go, right? And then the other thing...
Yeah, because they're all interconnected, so it's really annoying.
Yeah. But the other thing is, they usually decide to start chirping.
At 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
One to 3 in the morning.
Yes, that's
the optimal hour.
What is with that?
I'm never sitting there with a cup of coffee in the morning. Oh, chirp. Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
No, it doesn't work
it's 3
that
o'clock
way.
In the morning.
Yeah.
And like I said in the first half of the show, there's nothing that annoys me. Well, maybe one or two things.
Why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at me?
Why are you looking at...
That's not right. Just not right.
Joy.
Yeah.
It's a joy. Yes.
Feel the joy.
Okay. But anyway, all right. So you're saying that though, these days they're wireless. They're not even hardwired anymore, correct?
They have the hardwired ones as well. If you were... a newer home or recently remodeled, you can have the electrician come in and they interconnect them all. They're hardwired and they're also interconnected. So what you're talking about, one goes off, they all go off. Well, if you can't afford a whole rewire or, and you have an older home, they do have the wireless interconnected ones. So they're battery operated. They're not hardwired, but they're battery operated. They're wireless. So if one goes off, they all go off. Especially if you have a bigger home, highly recommend those as well. Because if a detector is going off in the basement and you're on the second floor, there's a good chance you won't hear it. But like you said, these ones, they all go off. So that's definitely a good thing to have.
Okay. How about carbon monoxide detectors?
Carbon monoxide detectors, they are obviously, CO is carbon monoxide, is known as the silent killer. You can't hear it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it, anything like that. So our only defense there is the carbon monoxide detectors. And they're the same idea. They have a 10-year lifespan. If you don't have a 10-year battery, then you want to change the battery twice a year, just like we said. Test it monthly. And the placement for those is we want them wherever it is, that people are sleeping. Okay, so your source of CO is going to be your furnace, your gas stuff, anything. CO is carbon monoxide, is incomplete combustion. So any place where there's anything like that, your gas furnace, hot water heater, gas stove, that's going to be the source of your carbon monoxide. But we want them to be where people are going to hear them when they sleep. So if you only have one, they're a little more expensive than smoke detectors. So if you only get one, put it where the majority of people are sleeping and they can hear it.
One per floor?
One per floor is obviously
ideal.
But again, they're about $30-$40 if you get a nice one. They could even go like $50. So they do get a little pricier.
But they last 10 years.
They last 10 years. So, you're looking at a little more investment to put one on each floor. And that's the best place because again you're most vulnerable when you're sleeping, just like with fire. And that's what carbon monoxide will do. It'll start off giving you a headache, those minor symptoms, but eventually it's going to kind of just put you to sleep. So that's what we want to have that protection is where you're sleeping because you're more vulnerable there.
Flu-like symptoms.
You get the headache. You get some nauseous, things like that. There are signs and symptoms of carbon monoxide.
Okay, so, and this happens in people's homes that have maybe gas fireplaces, and it's colorless.
Colorless, odorless,
odorless.
Tasteless.
You
yep.
don't know that it's there. So for $30 to $40, I think for my family's safety, I think it's really,
it's well worth it.
Absolutely.
It's well worth it.
So, Greg, how do we prevent carbon monoxide from entering our homes?
Similar to what we were talking about with the dryers, preventative maintenance, making sure everything's cleaned, your furnace, all those, anything with combustion process, whether it's fuel oil, natural gas, whatever it might be, propane, making sure that it's properly cleaned and maintained will prevent carbon monoxide incidents, because they are obviously designed to burn in the home. But where you get the problem is when it's not cleaned and maintained properly, then it's not working correctly, and then you have that incomplete combustion.
So there has been over the years, not recently, but in Dunmore, I recall a few developments of carbon monoxide entering a home, and things happen, but they did think that it had to do with some of the highway blasting at one point, where the roadways and the highway systems were blasting, and maybe that pushed it up into the homes.
I don't remember the end result of that, but that was the theory. And I was on many of those calls. Again, I don't remember what the end result was, but that was the theory, that it was coming up because when they were doing the blasting, like you said, for the highway there, it was just moving stuff around and stuff was coming up. So, again, even if you are maintaining, good point, if you're maintaining your equipment, could be coming from another source possibly. So, even more reason to buy
even
that carbon monoxide.
Even a better reason to have a carbon monoxide detector. Nothing to skimp on, I would think.
So you guys have a carbon monoxide detector. Do you carry one, or how do you guys operate? How do you know?
Correct. We get a call if your detector's going off. We'll come in with we have a 4-gas meter, which detects a couple other gases for us, but carbon monoxide is one of them. And we'll go in there and we'll check all your floors. We'll check near your appliances, your gas or your fuel oil appliances, anything that's not electric, basically. And we'll check to make sure that there's no carbon monoxide. If we do find a problem, generally speaking, depending on what's going on there, but you'll have to notify a plumber. Or if it's natural gas, we'll notify the gas company, and we'll do that on our own. We'll notify them, so you don't have to worry about that. But
so if you suspect it, give you guys a call.
Absolutely, yeah. It's
better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry, because there's, like I said, there's no way to detect it, and some of the detectors kind of do go off if they've been exposed to a lot of chemicals. Even if you bought in one of those developments, there was somebody that did some heavy cleaning right outside of, or right in the bathroom, and the detector was right outside of it. Well, it cooked the detector and like
cooked
a couple
it,
months.
Fried it.
Yeah.
They get saturated.
Yeah. So the sensors weren't working correctly anymore. And so it was going off like they had a carbon monoxide incident, and I just kept asking questions, and I could smell some of the cleaning agents. I said, "You gotta do a lot of stuff." And they said, "Yeah, we do this cleaning like, twice a week, whatever it was." And I said, you oversaturated the detectors, and the carbon monoxide detector that should last 10 years was no longer in use. So it'll give you different chirps and different things, different warnings of what's going on with it. If you look on the back of it, that's what we're going to do. But that's going off in any way, shape, or form, your best bet is calling 911 and notifying your fire department.
Sure. Okay. Good advice. With us today, Greg Wolf, captain of the Dunmore Fire Department. We thank you for your time here today, and we'd like to have you back next week to talk more about fire safety, if you would, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Greg. Pat?
Yes, we have a beautiful two-bedroom, two-bath home at 370 Lake Spangenberg Road in Jefferson Township for only $79,000. This beautiful home has a two-car garage, a gazebo with electricity, a screened-in porch, and all new windows. This move-in condition home is only up the block from beautiful Lake Spangenberg. So if you want a lovely two-bedroom, two-bath home with a two-car garage, give us a call about 370 Lake Spangenberg Road in Jefferson Township for only $79,000. And that's listed by Karen Kashuba of our office.
It's a very nice home, well-maintained, and a great location, tranquil.
Yeah, it's nice up there.
Very nice. And it's year-round. It's a year-round home. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate during the week. Give us a call, 570-344-6724. Check out our listings, view the MLS listings, or listen to archive radio shows by going to mobilefriendlyjready.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com. And remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.